Our scripture reading for today is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading at verse 16, part of a section that usually we think about at Christmas time. We have in this section the promise of Emmanuel. We just sang about that. And then in chapter 9, we have the promise of a child that will be born to us. But today we're just going to take a narrow slice of this section. And I'll be reading up through verse 20. So let us hear God's word. Isaiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Today we're continuing on with a short series on living a life of faith. Last time we saw that faith at its core is an attitude of dependence on a personal God who creates and who saves. When we have faith, we recognize that God is God and that we are creatures dependent on him for all that we are, all that we have, dependent on him for the very next breath that we take. And so faith is the profound recognition that life is a gift and that we live only by God's grace. And since we are sinners, people who have broken God's laws, we live in a special way by the grace of God, the grace that comes to us through the saving work of Jesus Christ. We also saw that faith means believing that God is a faithful God who keeps his promise to reward and to save those who seek him. And in connection with this, we saw that faith is actually the means by which we please God and receive his commendation and reward. And so, if we're going to be truly fulfilled, if we're going to truly thrive as human beings, we must be people of faith. We must, first of all, recognize that everything starts with God, with the one who made us, and with the one who has promised to love those who put their trust in him. Now, today we're going to look at one of the ways in which we express our faith. One of the ways we express faith that God is our creator and savior. And that way is that we must inquire. We must inquire of him to ask God what he has to say about things. In verse 19, we find the rhetorical question, should not a people inquire of their God? And the answer, of course, is yes. Of course they should. And so my question to you is, do you inquire of the Lord? Are you interested in what God has to say about the things in your life, about the choices that you make and the things that you do? Now, we ask or we inquire about things all the time. Sometimes it's less personal, like going to Google or Wikipedia or even a book. Some of us still use books. Sometimes inquiring is more personal. We actually go and talk to a person. But inquiring marks us as finite, as dependent, even dependent on other people for knowledge and for understanding. Now, men always have a bad reputation for not asking for instructions or directions. I can do it myself. I don't need to read the instructions. I don't need to ask for directions. And then we end up leaving out some important step or find ourselves in some part of Philadelphia that we'd rather not be in. It happens. You can ask my wife. None of us knows everything. None of us has what theologians like to call exhaustive knowledge. We don't even know ourselves fully. In fact, sometimes others can see things about us that we don't see ourselves. That's very humbling, isn't it? God is the only one who is omniscient and who never has to ask about anything, never has to seek advice, seek counsel. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 11, "Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor?" When Job questions God's sense of justice, God's response to him was, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know." In other words, Job, you don't know anything. In fact, everything that you do know comes from me who made the earth and everything in it, including you. So who are you to stand there and question my decisions and accuse me of being unjust? That's what God is saying to him. We're the ones who need counsel, not God. We're the ones who need to inquire. And the counsel that we need is God's counsel. I always take pause when I hear someone say, "Oh, I could never believe in a God who would allow thousands of people to die in a natural disaster, or who would allow the innocent to suffer, or who would permit the rule of an oppressive dictator." Now, those are very hard questions. And I don't want to minimize them in any way. And I'm not going to stand here and say that I have all the answers to how or why God would allow such things. God doesn't give us all the answers. There are secret things that belong to God and which he chooses not to reveal to us. Scott Wilson did a great job of speaking about that a couple of weeks ago. But at the same time, faith says that there are answers to those questions. Answers that are good and that are wise and that are just. Answers that lie within God. And faith comes to God, not banging on his door, demanding answers, demanding that he give an account of himself. Rather, faith comes to inquire of God, to humbly ask of him, "Lord, I'm having a hard time making sense of this. Will you help me? Will you give me some insight?" You see the difference between those two approaches? In the first approach, we make ourselves to be God's judges. We drag him into court and demand an accounting. In the second approach, we trust God. We believe in Him. We have faith in Him, that He is all that He says He is, and that it's our thinking that needs to be informed by His and not the other way around. So let me ask you again, do you inquire of God? Do you seek His counsel, His instruction, His endorsement of the decisions that you make and the things that you do? Do you care what He has to say about these things? Because that's what living a life of faith means. That's what it means to live as creatures, creatures who live only by grace. And to live such a life is our only hope for true and lasting joy and fulfillment. To find fulfillment, we have to live as our Creator made us to live. And we can only do that when we inquire of Him, when we ask Him what He has to say about life in general and our lives in particular. Unless our goals are aligned with God's goals, our purposes with His purposes, then we will always come up short of who we were made to be. That's one part of it. But we'll always be dissatisfied because life will never measure up to the standards that we have set. And we'll constantly find ourselves at odds with God, constantly challenging Him because, well, He hasn't lived up to our expectations. And so we should inquire. We should ask God. We should go to Him and look to Him for His wisdom. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's no great mystery here. I'm not going to be telling you something here that you don't already know. The first way to inquire of God is specifically stated here in this passage, and it's in verse 20. To the teaching and to the testimony. God had made Himself known to the Old Testament people of Israel. He hadn't remained silent. He hadn't left them in the dark on their own. They had His law that had been revealed to them through Moses. They had the prophets through whom God had spoken to them on numerous occasions. But in spite of that, many of the people and their rulers had a better idea. And instead of inquiring of God, instead of following God's law and listening to the prophets, they ignored God's word to them. And they look elsewhere for their counsel. Now, the most recent example of this failure to seek God had to do here with a military threat from the north against the southern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel had formed an alliance with the nation of Syria. And together they were planning to invade the south, including the city of Jerusalem. In chapter 7 of the book of Isaiah, God tells King Ahaz, who is king of Israel's southern kingdom at this particular time, he tells Ahaz that he will protect them. Here's where Ahaz is asked to for a sign. What would you want, Ahaz, for a sign? Ahaz kind of dismisses it. Oh, he doesn't want to bother God with asking for such a thing. He really wasn't interested, is what it was. So God gives His own sign. This is where we get the sign of Emmanuel. Ahaz doesn't listen to God's prophet. Instead, he pursues his own plan for protection. And he goes and he forms an alliance with the nation of Egypt. And so by this point, God has had enough. And as verse 17 says, He will now hide His face from His people And there is this call to bind and seal up God's testimony and his teaching among those who will listen to it. For the rest, God's going to hide his face and they will no longer have access to his counsel. And so on the one side, we have those who are inquiring of things like mediums and necromancers, anyone and anything but God. And on the other side are those who truly hope in God and who are inquiring of him and listen to his counsel. And this applies just as much to us in our day. There are all kinds of sources for information. We are in the information age. It's coming at us from all directions. We're bombarded with information. It's hard to keep up with it all. And much of it is not good. Even today, we still have mediums, and we have horoscopes, and we have Ouija boards and tarot cards. There are all kinds of places where people go for information that we, as God's people, should steer clear of. At best, these sources of information are unreliable. But at worst, they will give us information that is contrary to God's will. They'll give us a false sense of assurance and comfort in life. But the biggest reason why we shouldn't go to these sorts of things is because God has given to us the counsel that we need to have. And that's in his word, in the teaching, in the testimony. Again, Scott Wilson did a good job of going over this a couple of weeks ago. And my goal is not to go back over all of that, but to encourage you to live by this, to live in this way, to inquire of God in this way. God has promised wisdom to those who ask for it. We need to act in faith that he's going to give that he has given that to us. And of course, for us as new covenant believers, God has not only spoken to us through the law of Moses and the prophets, but he has spoken to us in these last days through his own Son. That's what we read in the book of Hebrews. We have in Jesus the final revelation of God, the clearest revelation of God, the best picture of God's plan of salvation. So do you want to know how to live? You want to know how to have eternal life? Inquire. Inquire of Jesus. Well, we inquire of God through his revealed word. The second word, way, if you haven't guessed it already, is we inquire through prayer. It's not explicitly stated here in this passage that I read from Isaiah, but we had as our meditation verse for this morning, James chapter 1, verses 5 and following. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then there's that qualifier in there. But before I read that qualifier, let me just emphasize the fact that this is a promise. This is a real promise. We can expect wisdom from God if we are seeking it from him. God promises wisdom if we ask for it. Now, we need to see this, though, in connection with what we just talked about in terms of God's word, because seeking God in prayer for wisdom goes hand in hand with exposing ourselves to the revelation that God has already given. What we are looking for is for God to help us to apply the teaching that is already given to our lives. And so we can speak of our reading of the scriptures as being a prayerful reading of the scriptures. Okay? It's not just a matter of, I did my 5 minutes of Bible reading today, I can check that off my list. When we go to the scriptures, we ought to be going prayerfully inquiring of the Lord. How does this apply to my life? How does God want me to think? To speak? How does he want me to act today in my school or at my job? That's the approach that we need to take. When we're asking for wisdom from God, this is what this means, a prayerful approach to the scriptures. And prayerfully asking God to help us to apply these scriptures to our lives. But then, closely connected with that is this qualifier that comes next in James, in this passage from James. James says, calls us to ask for wisdom, but he says, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so when we ask for this, we've got to come in faith. It's possible to ask God for wisdom, but to not ask for it in faith. I think that the classic example of this is King Ahab. Okay, this is not Ahaz, but Ahab, a different king, different time. And he was a king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And it was on the eve of going into battle against a foreign nation. And he wanted to ask God about it. So he summoned the prophets. Now, if you know anything about Ahab, it's an understatement to say that he did not have a godly reputation as a king. His wife was Jezebel. I think that may say it all. And we learn in that passage that what he really wanted to hear from the prophets was what he wanted to hear. And not necessarily what God had to say about things. And so when he was asked about one other prophet who wasn't present on that occasion, Ahab's reply about him was, and this is a quote, he says, I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. So they end up calling this prophet anyway, and in fact, he does prophesy evil concerning Ahab. But instead of listening to this prophet of the Lord, the other prophets were, a lying spirit had been placed in them, and they were not speaking God's word. But this prophet was. But instead of listening to him, Ahab puts him in prison. And I guess they didn't have the First Amendment back then, where there was freedom of speech. And you, if you said something to the king and he didn't like it, you were on your own. But in fact, what the Lord had said came about, and Ahab actually dies in this battle, as the prophet had predicted. But this is an example of the double-mindedness that James speaks of. We ask for wisdom and guidance, but really we don't want to hear what God has to say about it if it doesn't happen to agree with what we're looking for. In his book entitled Step by Step, Jim Petty says that to be guided by God into his will We must lay our entire lives, our future, our bodily health, our personal happiness, our money, our relationships, and our goals all on the altar and dedicate them to God's purposes. That means basing our earthly lives on what He gives back from the altar to be used for His glory. What He's saying there is that we need to be ready to go in any direction that the Lord directs us, using the resources and the circumstances, working within the circumstances that God gives to us. He goes on to say, the first step in seeking guidance from God is to ask Him to test and search our hearts for any areas of life, beliefs, or motives that are not given over to Him. And He encourages us here to seek the help of others and to ask them to look at our lives to see whether there are things that we need to do to move our lives more in conformity with the revelation that God gives to us rather than our own desires and our own wisdom that come from us. We need to be open to the truth. We need to have an openness to a change of course in our lives. We need to be open to a change in our thinking, our practice. The prayer of faith is the prayer, thy will be done. Okay? Shape my will by yours. That's the true prayer of faith. One last way, and this is, I'm just going to touch on briefly, it really flows out of the first two things of going to the scriptures and seeking God in prayer. And this is inquiring of God through the wise counsel of others. Going to other people who themselves are reading the scriptures and who are praying and who have demonstrated wisdom in the way they live their lives. Someone that I highly respect just came to me seeking wisdom in this way. I've always felt it was the other way around. But God uses us in different ways. Others can have insights about how to apply God's word that we might not have thought of because of our own life experiences and the ways that we've seen God at work in our own lives. So the conclusion is to live as people of faith. Inquire of God. It pleases Him. It glorifies Him, and it's for our best. Make it a habit, a routine, even for common things in life. Think of yourself as having God as a constant companion, and don't be afraid. Sometimes I have to catch myself when I'm in public, and I'm saying, Lord, what should I do? That should be our mindset. Lord, help me to know what will honor You. Help me to keep from acting foolishly. God will honor you. He'll honor your desire to honor Him. He will guide. He will give wisdom. If necessary, He will correct. And if need be, He'll forgive. Because of Jesus. But if we seek Him, if we inquire of Him, He will commend us, He will bless us, He will reward us. And if we seek Him through Jesus Christ, we will receive eternal life. Again, all by the grace of God. That's how we live. That's how we should live. To God be the glory. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we thank You for life and breath, we're constantly reminded that we are creatures dependent in so many ways. But yet how quickly we are to forget this and to launch out on our own ways and in our own paths, and even to seek advice and counsel and wisdom from questionable sources. Lord, you have been so good to us and have provided us with much. You have given us the scriptures. You've invited us to pray. You've told us, Lord, that you have given us your spirit. And so we confess our sin to you now of failing to inquire of you as we ought, to neglect that important aspect of a life lived by faith. Help us, Lord, to have hearts that are truly seeking you at all times for all things. We thank you that you hear us, not because we have lived lives that have perfectly kept your law, but because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And we pray this prayer in his name. Amen. Yeah.